point is, Petrus, that Ronnie and I are both commissioned officers of the Royal Aerospace Stellar Service.
Poor idiot. You should have left him gagged.
Then Ronnie realized what he'd thought and woke up the rest of the way, ashamed of himself. He was no longer tied, if he had been tied. He found his memory wobbly on that and other points. And when he tried to sit up, someone's arm came behind him, lifting his shoulders. Even under the forest canopy, he could tell that some hours had passed. The bits of sun poking through came at a different angle. Someone had cleaned his face. He couldn't smell the vomit anymore and was grateful. Without a word, a brown hand came from behind him and offered a flask of water. He took it and drank. They were all there, Bubbles, Rafa, and George, and the faces he remembered from that nightmarish time when he'd been flat on his back. Now, right side up, he recognized the hostile expressions as exhaustion, fear, uncertainty. He saw only 8 or 9, but noises in the thick undergrowth suggested at least as many more.
Son, the point really is that we know how to fight a war and you don't. You'd get us killed. You damn near got yourself and your girls killed. I don't care how many glittery stripes and pretty decorations you've got in your dress uniform, nor how bright your boots shine. You don't know one useful thing about staying alive in this mess, and I do.
George looked around for support and caught Ronnie's eye.
Good, you're awake now. Tell him, we're officers, we should be in charge.
Ronnie wanted to wait until he could think straight, and then fly back to the mainland. His mind gave a little jerk, like a toy train jumping to another track. They were being hunted, that was it, the men on the island. They were trying to fight back to hunt the hunters. And George thought he and Ronnie should organize that?
He's right, George. We're worse than the girls. They at least know what they don't know. We keep thinking we do know.
He hardly knew what he was saying over a dull pounding in his head, but that made the best sense he could.
You're Petrus, sir? I agree with you.
The dark man gave Ronnie the first friendly look he'd had.
Well, maybe that knock on the head put your brain right side up after all. Oblo, give this lad a ration bar.
The same dark hand that had passed him the water flask held out a greasy, gritty bar that Ronnie recognized as part of the flitter's emergency supplies. He took it and nibbled the end. His body craved the salt-sweet flavor.
Ronnie, you can't let that person ignore your seniority.
I'm not letting him ignore my seniority. I'm ignoring it. Remember what old Top Jenkins said about tutti young cadets?
We aren't cadets anymore. We're officers.
We're prisoners, if you want to be precise. Come on, George. Look at it this way. It's an adventure.
Petrus scowled, but George finally grinned.
It's a saying we have, Petrus. We started in boarding school together, and George would think these things up, or Buttons would, or Dill, and the rest of us would say how crazy it was, and how much trouble we'd get in, and whoever began it would say, it's an adventure.
I remember who started it. Arthur, what's his name, remember? Got us into some frightful row, and when we were called up, he said, look at it this way, boys, it's an adventure. And we all went in sniggering like fools and got twice as much punishment as usual.
I can see why. This is not an adventure, this is a war. Go in sniggering, as you put it, here, play the fool here, and you'll be dead. Not charmingly, tidily, prettily dead, either.
I know that.
Then act like it!
Petrus turned back to Ronnie.
And you, young man, if you're finally getting sense, get enough to live through this and grow up.
He glanced sideways at the girls. Did he think women were non-entities?
If that's what he thinks, he must not know Captain Harris.
Captain who?
Ronnie didn't realize he'd said the name aloud until the other man reacted.
Serrano. Harris Serrano. She's ex-regular space service, like you.
So that's where she ended up.
A feral gleam lightened Petrus's dark eye. Ronnie was startled. It was the first personal emotion he'd seen Petrus exhibit. Petrus grinned. It was not a nice grin.
She did have a come down after all.
A come down?
To play captain of a rich lady's yacht. Serves her right.
What for?
Ronnie was glad. He too wanted to know, but he had already been chewed out for asking too many questions.
None of your...
Tell him. Why not? You don't want to protect her.
No, that's right enough. But you think these royal ass punks can understand it?
Might learn something.
Ronnie felt a tension between the two men, not quite conflict, and wondered what it could be. Petrus wiped his mouth with his hand and settled back, looking past them.
All right. It started with the Covenado campaign, which is too new to have been in your studies, so don't argue with me about it. Scuttlebutt says it was Admiral Lepescu who thought up the lousy plan. From what I know of him, I wouldn't doubt it. If our captain had followed his orders, most of us would have died, and it wouldn't have accomplished a damn thing. It was a stupid plan and a stupid order.
But
do you want the gag again? Then be quiet. I know what you think. Officers that refuse orders are traitors and should be shot, right?
George nodded and shrugged at the same time, trying not to offend. Ronnie almost laughed aloud, but not when he saw Petrus's face.
Now that's what the rules say. No matter how stupid or how bloody, how unnecessary, officers obey their seniors and enlisted obey officers. Mostly they do, and mostly it works, because when you're not in combat, a stupid order won't kill you, usually. But then there's combat. You expect to die someday. It's not a safe profession, after all. But what you hope for is that your death will mean something. You'll be expended, as the saying is, in some action that accomplishes something more than just turning you into a bloody mess.
Petrus was silent after that so long that George stirred and opened his mouth. Ronnie waved at him, hoping he would keep quiet. Finally, Petrus looked at both of them.
It's not that anyone doubted Serrano's courage, you know. She'd been in action before. She'd had a couple of decorations you don't get for just sitting by a console and pushing the right buttons. No, what she did, refusing a stupid order that would kill a lot of people without accomplishing any objective, and that was damn brave, and we all knew it. She was risking her career, maybe her life. When it was over, and she faced the inquiry on it, she didn't try to spread the blame. She took it just the way you'd expect, would have expected from knowing her before. I'd been with her on three different ships. I thought I knew what she was. She was facing a court-martial, dishonorable discharge, maybe prison time or execution. If she couldn't prove that Admiral Lepescu's order was not only stupid but illegal. I was scared for her. I knew she had friends in high places, but not that high. And it's damn hard to prove an admiral's giving bad orders just because he likes to see bloodshed. That was the Serrano I thought I knew. The woman who would risk that. Not the woman who would take the chance to resign her commission before the court and lay the blame on her crew. Leave us to face court-martial and conviction and this sentence.
Petrus waved, a gesture that included the place, the people, the situation.
She didn't come to our trial. She didn't even offer any testimony, any written support, nothing. She dumped us, the very crew she'd supposedly risked her career to save. It didn't make sense, unless her decision to avoid that engagement really was cowardice, or she saw it as a way to leave the service.